Welcome to the Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector, and in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Welcome to the Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. This weekly MoneyWeb show features leaders in the local real estate sector sharing insights on hot-button issues, trends, opportunities, new developments, and more. An organization that has been a key part of South Africa's commercial property industry and is seen as a major advocate for major issues, or crucial issues rather, affecting the sector for over six decades on the button, is the South African Property Owners Association, or SOPOA as it's more familiarly known. It is one of the oldest property industry bodies in the country and will mark that 60-year milestone at Sun City for the SOPOA convention later this month. The CEO, who has been with the organization for a third of this time, some 23 years, is Neil Gopal, and he joins us now on the podcast. Gopal has been on the podcast a few times, but with this being a landmark year, considering the SOPOA 60th event. Also, the organization has been in the news over the last few months and last year, especially around its taking on the city of Cape Town, which may be the best run city in South Africa. But SOPOA took on the mantle for the commercial property industry to fight that rates battle with City of Cape Town and won. So it has been in the limelight. We've covered it, but we thought let's get Neil on the podcast again to talk about that big win, but also other issues affecting other major metros like City of Johannesburg, as well as other trends, to talk a little bit, give a little bit of history about SOPOA and the industry. Neil, I think it's your third time on the podcast, but the first time I had you back in 2021 when the podcast was still new. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much for the invitation and for the opportunity.
Now, it has been a busy year for SOPOA, as I mentioned, with the most significant development being that big case against City of Cape Town on their value-based rates charges and a cleaning levy. For you, I know the matter has been dealt with and the City of Cape Town has backtracked on that plan. But how important was this win for SOPOA and the industry? And I ask this especially because of, other municipalities were considering making similar moves because municipalities are under pressure in terms of, upping rates to up infrastructure development. And this is from a city that's well run. As I said, I know there's an issue around service delivery at other municipalities.
Certainly. Thank you, Suren. So I think, at the outset, we fully agree. It is an extremely well-run city. We value our relationship with the City of Cape Town. But as you know, we monitor on an annual basis the draft budgets of the top municipalities in the country. And essentially last year, March, April, we picked up that the City of Cape Town is linking its basic water sanitary charges, including the citywide cleaning levy, to the value of property. Our view is that linking rates to, or rate charges and taxes to, the value of a property is illegal. It's a tariff that is simply linked and essentially disguised as a property tax. And it also does not align itself to the Municipal Property Rates Act and the Municipal Systems Act. And hence, we took a view after many, many meetings with the mayor and his team that we were going to proceed with litigation. And the court hearing took place over 3 days in December at the Cape Town High Court. And the judgment was issued or released first quarter of this year. And I'm very pleased to say that the judgment was found in favor of SOPOA.
Do you think there'll be some other thing that comes up, or is the city fully backtracked? Because the mayor, while he got kudos in your ratings Africa award, that partnership that you have about rating top-run cities, he was very vocal last year when you first came out, or SOPOA first decided to take the city to court. And he was very provocative and basically saying big property companies make tons of money and they should pay more. But that's not the case. The court ruled in SOPOA's favor in terms of the rating. Its rules, as you mentioned.
So naturally, I think, the starting point here is that the industry and the sector has no issues about paying rates. We know we need to do our fair share, like every other industry in the country. Where we do have a problem with many municipalities in the country is that we believe in accordance to the Municipal Property Rates Act, that rates should be levied on a fair and equitable basis. This was certainly not the case. And in many other municipalities, we come across these cases where municipal rates are not applied on a fair and equitable basis or a transparent basis. And in worst case scenarios, the municipalities themselves are acting against their own legislation and national legislation in the country. So somebody has to step in. We do need a watchdog. And I'm glad that SAPOA stepped in. But this does not mean that our relationship with the city has been marred by any means. We still have a very strong relationship with the city. Our members still view Cape Town as one of the best, if not the best run city in the country. And we continue to invest billions.
Well, we see all the cranes in Cape Town, but SAPOA is a national organization. And it's important to point out that SAPOA has taken other cities to court on various other issues, be it rates or, advertising bylaws. I know there was an issue that SAPOA threatened to take the city to court around CCTV rollouts in Johannesburg last year. And I've got elephant's memory. So during my Mercury days, I remember a front page story that I wrote over a decade ago about development charges. Do you want to share some insights on that? It's clearly a case of fear. You don't have fear or favor against anyone.
Well, I think, again, principally, you know, litigation is the last resort. It's not part of our initial approach. We spend many, many months, if not years, negotiating behind the scenes with municipalities and other government departments at a national level around policy decisions, around legislation, which we believe is going to directly or indirectly impact negatively on our sector. So advocacy is a big component and a big pillar at SAPOA. We certainly do not rush off and fire the bullet to take anybody to court. But I think where we reach a point where after months or years of negotiations, we haven't made any progress, the board then takes the decision whether we should litigate or not. Obviously, the decision is based on an information and sound and solid information from our advocates and attorneys. And based on that, we then take the matter to court.
Now, SAPOA is a 60-year-old organization, but does it still have a role to play? Is this case a case in point regarding SAPOA's role, considering especially that there's been a number of newly established organizations, niche, whether it's SA RIT or Samara, there are a number of newer organizations, and in many ways, you could argue that some of them are competing for membership, especially in a tough economy.
No, certainly. There's definite competition for, and an overlap rather, of membership of some of the services. But I think where SAPOA does stand out very strongly is particularly on advocacy, on monitoring government legislation, on acting on government legislation that, again, as I've mentioned, directly or indirectly impacts negatively on the industry. And the flip side of that coin is there's different policies that also impact on the sector in a positive manner. So we do work with government officials and municipalities in that light as well. Not everything is negative, so to speak. But coming back to your point, yes, there's a myriad of different associations that are very niche. SAPOA is a broad church. We do capture a large part of the sector, and we provide a number of services. But there are certain things that we do that the other associations do not do.
Now, talking more broadly on SAPOA's role, it does a lot of other things in the sector, whether it's research. But another area is investing in bursaries and promoting, you know, new talent and transformation to some extent. It also financed the Property Sector Charter Council. Can you share a little bit about your investments, particularly around the bursary side, because that's runs into millions of rands. I picked up a little promo booklet on your upcoming convention, and I saw some interesting numbers there.
Yeah, so the bursary fund is one of our success stories. It was established in 2009. Just prior to that, we had a strategic planning session at the organization and tried to get a bit of focus on what the organization needs to do to service the industry. And I think, if I recall, there were four pillars: research, advocacy, education, and then the focus on legislation. With the skills development and educational service, we decided to establish a bursary fund. And I must say, it has been fairly successful. We have now expensed 86 million in the industry as a as an NGO to provide bursaries to 713 students. 233 of them have graduated. 88% have found jobs in our sector, and we've placed them with our member companies. 60% of the graduates are females, and we continue to bring them to the annual conference to then introduce them to the industry. So it's been a fairly successful initiative on our part to address the skills issue and transformation matters in our industry.
Now, before we go to my next question, the SIPOC convention, it's a milestone coming up. Is there extra interest this year? Is it going to be bigger and better? What can we expect? I see you've roped in a famous CNN personality to be MC this year.
Yes, thank you, Surenya. It is an exciting event. It's 60 years old. The organization was established in 1966. Obviously, prior to that, the initial rumblings started off in Sanlam, I think, in Cape Town in early 60s, 1960. Just a bit of history on that. The gentleman, I believe, that worked for Sanlam was A.J. Ritt, and he had flown over to the United Kingdom and then to the U.S., and came back and said to a couple of industry people down in Cape Town that we do need to establish an industry body. But then nothing happened for the next 5 years. And then with the assistance of BOMA, which is based in Washington, the Builders, Owners and Managers Association, SIPA was then finally established in 1966. So our relationship with BOMA still spans over the last 60 years. ETU and I attended their conference in the U.S. last year and this year, and we have the BOMA president attending the SIPA conference this year to celebrate the 60-year anniversary. It is a big event. The numbers are ticking up, so we're hoping to get a huge part of the industry there to come and celebrate the organization that they own, that they invest in, and that represents them as a whole. CNN, yes, Richard Quest, we pinned him down. I managed to chat to him in December last year. And as you know, this is the second time he's doing this for us. So we will have him over a three-day period, and he'll facilitate the three-day session. He's very well versed with the sector and with South Africa as a country.
Richard, I remember during the early days of tourism in Davao, during ahead of the World Cup, he also used to host the media face-off at the tourism in Davao in Durban. So he loves South Africa. So it'll be an interesting convention, I'm sure. Neil, 20 years as CEO of an organization, are you tired, or how has the role changed, you know, to be at an organization for that long and you still have the passion there? But you mentioned before we started this conversation that you're one of three CEOs of that organization. So it's an interesting position to be in.
No, most certainly. Am I tired? Am I bored? Certainly not. There are issues that hit my office and might come across my table on a daily basis. It's a very active and a very busy industry body with a myriad of issues. So, you know, certainly there's no time to get bored in my job. And there's new things every day. I'm also fortunate enough that I can pull in on the knowledge of hundreds of people in my industry. It is a very busy industry body. We have about 20 committees nationally and an average of 15 people per committee. So yeah, more than 200 meetings a year of legal experts, of environmental experts, planning experts, property owners, you name it. It's across the board, but it's certainly not a environment where one can get bored very easily.
So Neil Gopal still plans to play a role in SIPOA for a little while longer.
Well, I serve at the pleasure of the, or at the pleasure of the industry. So as long as they need me, I am available and I'll always be available. It's a very dynamic, fast-paced industry with wonderful people. Actually, you know, the people make the sector. They really, really are a great bunch of people. Some of them I've known for close to 30 years now. I've been in the industry for 31 years.
Well, I remember when I first interviewed you back in 2021 on this podcast, you talked about spiraling rates and taxes. We'll get to that in a minute, but it's interesting that you mentioned Sanlam, because initially the insurers were the big investors in property, and you talked about that first person that was in charge of SIPOA coincidentally having a RIT name, and RITs on another side of things are a key part of the industry in terms of listed property. Now, going back to the first time, can you believe it, 5 years ago, more than 5 years ago, it was just after COVID, and that podcast was one of our top read and listened to podcasts in that year. Is spiraling rates and taxes still a major issue for Sapowa on a broader perspective? Or are you kind of focusing or more concerned by issues around service delivery now? The reason I ask that, I know they're two quite intertwined, but you and your various presidents have talked about the fact that the commercial property sector is being exposed and your tenants are being exposed to much higher double-digit growth in rates and taxes. But service delivery, you see what's happened in City of Joburg and other cities across the country. It's not just ordinary citizens that are facing not getting the level of service that they are paying for, but some of your members are part of city improvement districts, so it's almost a double tax in many ways.
Yes, so you've hit the nail on the head on a few things that you've said there. Municipal rates and taxes very much intertwined with service delivery. Certainly, they are spiraling out of control. They are unsustainable. The latest figures show that municipal charges are the largest cost component of operational charges or administrative costs, and they make up currently around the account for about 64% of total operating costs. So this is a big number. It is unheard of. It is unsustainable. Over and above that, you know, rates are rising at around 13% year on year. And this type of an environment is extremely unsustainable, particularly in light of the lack of service delivery or declining service delivery in some cities and certain nodes. So yes, the two are intertwined. It has also given rise to various city improvement districts around the country where the property owners have taken it upon themselves to cater for services which they're not actually responsible for. So that's cleaning, maintenance, security, and that keeps these environments functioning in a more healthy manner. It helps to maintain the value of these buildings, but it is a double tax, you know, paying the municipality your rates and taxes, which are increasing on an annual basis for a service that is not fully provided and in certain cases not provided at all. And on the other side of the equation, you are spending money to and paying levies to a central improvement district. So not a healthy environment. But in saying that, Sapowa initiated a study 4 years ago. We appointed it was Oxford Economics, a British-based and a UK-based research entity. It's taken a number of years to conclude this research, which we finally did. And the reason it took that long was, firstly, it is fairly intricate to try and determine whether rates are unsustainable or not. But we also had to jump through a few loops in accordance with the Municipal Property Rates Act. Section 16 basically says that if you are the complainant on rates and taxes, then you've got to fulfill the following obligations. So do the research, prove it to us, conduct your stakeholder management with Selga, with Kochta, with the various municipalities, and then provide your research and your outcomes to the Minister of Finance and Minister of Kochta. So we're at that point now. The research has been finalized. We will be calling up a meeting with the respective ministers to provide the data and also take into account what the governor of the Reserve Bank said about a year or two ago in their reports, in the Saab reports, that large part of the inflationary pressures that the country is facing is as a result of unsustainable municipal rates and taxes. So it is a thorn in our side. It is a major priority, and it is intertwined with service delivery.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. So it will be a report that we need to look out for, especially with the local government elections coming up in November. Yep. Now, a hot topic, City of Joburg is in the spotlight considering its financial challenges. It seems to have paid, or it has paid Eskom now, and city leaders are saying it is in a better financial footing, and it may have convinced some of the rating agencies. So it's almost a wait and see approach. But with local government elections, that it is the economic hub, it is in the spotlight. Various other organizations have raised issues of, you know, Joburg needs to work for South Africa to work, considering Joburg and Gauteng being such a huge contributor to the economy. Many of the listed companies that are also Sapowa members are based, they have the headquarters in Johannesburg. Can City of Joburg be saved? What can be done to save City of Joburg in your view? And the reason I ask this is a few weeks ago, the government business partnership had an update and now they've launched phase 3. And part of that phase 3, you mentioned Itu, who is Itu. Uh-huh. Motsebele, who's the current or outgoing SOPOA president, but a former SOPOA president, Estienne de Klerk from Growthpoint, as well as Ichu, are part of a mini task team within this government business partnership that are looking to speak to City of Joburg. They say after the local government elections to try for business to help. Now, SOPOA has a good relationship with most municipalities across the country because of the various fights. But how important is saving City of Johannesburg in SOPOA's view?
Well, it's a loaded question. It is, firstly, it is important. I mean, you know, 70% of all head offices in the country are based in Johannesburg. It's a huge contributor to the GDP of the country. And for the sector, it is essentially at municipal level where the rubber really hits the road for us. You know, all of these assets are based in a municipal jurisdiction. So that relationship is extremely important. It cannot be dysfunctional. It is not healthy for the commercial property sector to have a dysfunctional municipality. But I think it is equally important for a municipality not to start seeing a sector that becomes slightly dysfunctional as a result of the lack of service delivery. Essentially, what happens then is capital flight. We see it. We see the money being moved offshore. We see many of our members investing in large parts of Europe, the United Kingdom and elsewhere. And I think the danger in all of this is that if the basic service delivery is starting to slip, capital does move. But in saying that, I think we need to also be a little bit careful when we say, you know, the whole of Joburg's busy failing. This is nodal specific. There are some nodes that operate much better than others. And quite frankly, if there are certain nodes that are operating better than others, we need to ask ourselves why, what is happening around there. And I think the CIDs play a large role in keeping these nodes functioning on a healthy basis. But where that creep starts happening, it's not supposed to be flowing towards a functional node, it's supposed to be flowing away from it. Your question around can we save Joburg, I don't think it's a question of, you know, can. I think it has to. And so SOPOA is very supportive of the business government partnership. We've been working with BLSA and Business for South Africa for many years now, and with Martin Kingston heading it up and doing a sterling job on this front. So yes, the property industry is fully supportive. SOPOA is fully supportive of this venture. We don't believe that any of these problems can be resolved by just one organization or one government entity. I think we're going to have to come together. There are affected and involved parties on both sides. And we have a job to do, and a fairly big job, to save Johannesburg.
Thanks for that. We've seen a little bit of that in working to turn around Itakweni with the Durban Chamber and other players involved. I know SOPOA historically has had a good relationship with the Durban Chamber, and there are some positives coming. CEOs and others are talking about the turnaround there. So there's a lot of expectation and huge expectation at that with the City of Johannesburg, and especially into the new year. Neil, as I said, my last question was loaded, but we probably can chat for another half an hour. All the best for your conference. We'll have to leave it there. That was Neil Gopal, and Neil Gopal is the CEO of the South African Property Owners Association.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.